thankful for the time that you've allowed me to be in front of you, and for Brother Rusty, I thank with much thanks for allowing me to preach from this desk. We've talked about that before in other venues. Preachers don't just give their pulpit to other people, because you folks are kind of important to them. You know, they don't want to just throw somebody up there. So when I'm prepared, one of the things that I ask in my prayer is that I will be faithful to the scriptures, and that it will be faithful in your hearing as well. As we get started, this, go ahead and take your Bible there, and let's turn to the third, to the first chapter of Colossians. This is the third part of this particular message, titled "In All Things Preeminent."
Can I get someone to read, verse
this would be Colossians, first chapter, verses 19 to 23.
No, Matthew. Lesson's not going well in the wrong book.
I don't want to go ahead and start, though, with something else. It's just to reiterate here. Paul is addressing this as an apostle to a church. He also, it says, by the will of God, and we went over that. But it's addressed to, and this is up in verse 2, it's addressed to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Now, the faithful brothers, the saints, those are the holy ones of God who are set aside by God the Father as the people of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, ones whose souls have been purchased by the Son of God by His blood. Now, I wanted to go ahead and start there first, because he goes ahead and says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." Now, the subject today is reconciliation. If you're not a person who is in Christ, if you are not a person who has come to Christ in faith and received the salvation and forgiveness of God, reconciliation is going to be the least of your problems. You do understand that. Anyone that's listening to this, anyone that's watching this, anyone that's here today that is outside of faith in Jesus Christ, this is not the topic. But you will hear the call of Christ to salvation in Him all through this message, is my prayer. With the scriptures that we have and the way Paul so ably shows us the place of reconciliation in the life of Christians. So let's look. It's going to be verses 19 to 23 that we will be dealing with. Dealing and speaking again and expanding on the preeminence of Christ.
At least every marriage is done.
For in Him, Christ Jesus,
we understand that this
the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in the body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him.
It's going to instantly become true.
If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We're grateful, Lord, that you have given us the privilege of hearing your word read in our church. We're grateful, Father, that in your Holy Spirit, that you have brought this to our minds, and you've reminded us of the so many ways in which we've been taught many of these things that we're going to see today. But we also thank you, Father, for the freshness of God's word in the ears of the hearers when the Holy Spirit is teaching throughout this session. Father, we thank you for these things, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
So he wasn't using.
I do have a outline today. Some of you have seen some of my outlines, and they are outlandish. This one, however, I have managed to try to keep it in the boundaries and between the white lines on the highway, directed in what I'm actually going to talk about in that point.
This is an instance where call and invoke God as his
By God's grace and his mercy, we're going to go ahead and get started. This is a topic that is written by Paul in many other books. As I was going through this, we found it one very well-written topic in Romans we'll be looking at in a little bit. There are those that believe perhaps that Paul is the writer of Hebrews.
Sometimes
was that an amen?
My house and my mom or my grandmother
would ask. Okay. Anyway, we're going to look at that in just a minute, too. In the Hebrews, there's a fine dealing with this. And one of our brothers here, after the very first time I touched on this topic, said, where's Hebrews? I know you read Hebrews, right? And I said, we got to wait for that one. Because we're going to start out with this one today. But he is the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is particularly qualified. And you're going to see, too, as you look through the outline here. The first one, he's pleased that God is the reconciler of men, women, and children. And that's going to be the overall topic there on the outline. Number one, we have the fullness of God in the person of Christ qualifies him to bring reconciliation and peace to his people.
See verse 18.
And the second point is going to be the fullness of God in the person of Christ qualifies him as an ambassador of holy God to reconcile to himself all things. And third, the fullness of man in the person of Christ qualifies him to bring reconciliation and peace to his people through his blood. And y'all, I had to read that several times just because I wanted to read it. The gospel of God is in Christ, and it is so clear, so clearly written in the very last part. And it's there because for 20 verses, Christ has been lifted up and honored as supreme. As the one that is overall, as the one who is preeminent. He was the one that created it all, and in all it holds together simply because of him and his will. And then it also, though, it's the key to the salvation of each one of us here that knows Christ, because all of that is upheld by the blood of the blessed Christ, who in the power of God made all things one time, so it's going to be reconciled to him through the same blood that brought you the salvation of the Lord Jesus. And last, we're going to draw it all together so that we see the end of reconciliation is the loving worship of the glory and the glory of God the Son. So as we get started here, this section is an expansion of Jesus Christ in all the different ways as a hymn of reconciliation, as a hymn of redemption. And as we look at this, our first key here is the fullness of God in the person of Christ qualifies him to bring reconciliation and peace to his people. The first part of verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And says Paul makes use of this pronoun and much of it in his writing. Look back at verse 19, and we see that in him, Christ Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Before we just go right into it, I want to make sure I spoke with a little more clarity than the last time. Agents of heresy in Colossae consider all of the gods and emanations of gods gathered together in one place as the fullness of God. So when Paul wrote this, he was standing up in the same way that you would when you say, Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the life.
or other proper occasion.
When you're in a room full of people that are
provided they are taken with
calling all kind of saviors to your aid.
All oaths taken without necessity or in common conversation.
And so the fullness of God, which you do see all through this, was every time he wrote that word, was attacking the heretics. Now for us, we don't feel that's an attack, because we look at that and it sounds more like Scientology than it sounds like anything else. But in any event, I wanted to make that clear. What does it mean when it says fullness of God was in him? The author Paul says that this fullness was it means fullness. It is provided through the hypostatic union, which we're not going to go into that, brother. Rusty has spoken on that many times. But in that special union, we have a singular man of God who is both fully man and fully God. That's the fullness of God that Paul is referring to here.
It would be a wonderful world if you could trust absolutely everyone.
Look at Hebrews 1, if you would. Turn there.
Complete glut of unemployed attorneys out there.
We're going to look at some very familiar verses. These are the ones that I was reminded of.
It would.
In Hebrews 1, the title in my Bible is exactly. The Supremacy of God's Son.
Our income is
which is the same as what we've been saying, the supreme nature of Christ,
the
preeminence of Christ, the supremacy of God's Son. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then he goes on to compare. Now, who are the angels? Did you ever say this?
In the
none.
The same
because God has declared Jesus Christ superior to even the highest angels that are in heaven.
In my heart,
did you pick up the words that we've heard as we've gone through this?
For you, it absolutely.
He says that
you're already convicted enough.
You have all things.
The word of God,
you have an imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe. The word of his power. He makes secure, or superior rather, through the majesty on high, he makes the Son superior. So as we go through books of the Bible, I believe you're going to find as you're just reading along, we're going to continue seeing these words that are all related to the superiority of Christ in all things, in all creation. Because it's here's one that sounds almost like Paul wrote that section alone, or at least that he might have heard him preach. Because this is a familiar theme, at least it is for us now.
There's also an engineer.
So if we look at
Herman Cain, and he had the plan where any legislation that came to the president's desk.
So in him, this is back in 19, Colossians 1:19.
8.5 by 11.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Now, I didn't really see where there was a problem, but apparently there are some folks that take this one and twist it just a little bit to make sure that you know that what it's saying. The New American Standard reworded the order here a little bit,
and
it says something along the lines of
$100 billion worth of kickbacks given.
God the Father,
Mr. Roberts, for kicking
in the fullness of God was pleased to cause the Savior to dwell.
How can you vote for this man?
Now I wish I'd wrote that down. Now, but what it was, this one says, look how the order is. It says in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Ordinarily, when you see God, that's talking about God the Father. But it doesn't have the same force as the New American Standard, where it says it's God the Father that was pleased that the Son was indwelt in such a way. And then in 20, it says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Now,
this one is a theme verse for the entire scriptures. When you have any time they're going to be talking about the gospel, they're going to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. And so reconciliation is not what you would call probably a gospel act, but you know, it is the response of God to a person who through the gospel has been saved, who the Spirit has brought in, who the Spirit has made whole. He's taken his heart of stone, given him a heart of flesh to seek after God. And so as he seeks after God, Christ makes peace with that person through his blood. And it's one of the ways that God reconciles himself and all of creation is by bringing men and women to the Savior in the blood of Christ. And as they are reconciled, more praise and glory is manifested. It's not added, but it's manifested in God Almighty. There's a one point here that I'll just point it out to you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Some folks that I read about said when they will reconcile himself all things, they take that and turn it into a universalism. I'm not a universalist. I know nobody here is, but they're taking the word as it says. It says he reconciles to himself all things, and later he's going to say that he reconciles it in such a way that it's going to give the impression that he's reconciling all of creation and all of people. We'll get to it in a few minutes, but even that they say is through the blood of the cross. Well, the word "all" we know doesn't always mean all. And whenever you consider the fact that what this, well, we'll get on that one in just a few minutes. You'll see. But that's keep that in mind, because we do have folks that are just absolutely convinced
if someone goes
that
into
God
court,
is such a God of love that he wouldn't send anybody to hell.
Was it Kavanaugh?
And it's not that he's sending them to hell because he's not a God of love. He is not going to give up part of his love to judge, but he's not going to give up part of his judging just to go against his very character, which is fully fully justice. He is also fully love. He's fully all these things, 100%, and it's not affected. I don't want to say that. It's not affected by what you think. It's only affected by the way he's spoken and declared and decreed.
They would suffer the repercussions of that lie.
So, in all the fullness of God, he was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. The first part of this one here in the fullness is very clear. I think we don't need to go back to that one anyway. But the major point that they're trying to make there is this is all part of the gospel, every bit of it. And it is something that
what would be the difference?
Points to, I'm not going to bring this out later, but it points to the initiation of God in all things. When it says here that all things will be reconciled to him, there's no point there where a man can stand up in a pulpit and give an invitation to come to God and be reconciled. But you are told to be reconciled. Scriptures tell us he reconciles to God. Now, he's not telling that to a person who doesn't already know Christ. Because at that point, that man's problem is not that he's not reconciled, because the very fact that he has rejected Christ or hasn't come to Christ, that is the basis of his non-reconciliation with God.
There's a difference between intentionally trying to do harm to a brother or even a lost
person.
So
you who were once alienated, he's starting to describe in verse 21 now. He's starting to describe those that were sitting there. He's not talking to ones who are alienated, but who were once alienated. I don't disbelieve people when they testify, but I think their memory is kind of like what we talked about in Sunday school. There are those wonderful, loving people who will tell you they don't remember a time when they weren't saved. Can it be that way? Certainly. I've heard of dear, loving people say that. And I'm not going to disagree with them, because their testimony is between them and God as far as the truth of it is concerned. But what is he saying here? Paul is telling us, you were once alienated from God. That word right there, it actually has a feeling of permanence about it, the author was saying that I read. He said, you knew it. You know at the time that you're alienated from God. Alienated is as far as you can get between you and the Father. Think about it. Who are they referring to? Well, I don't think they were talking about the Martians. But the aliens were those that were in the country temporarily, and they couldn't wait to get back home. The Hebrews were aliens in their lands where they were when they were taken captive. They were taken captive, and they always looked back to the land. They wanted to get back to the land that God had promised them. So you who were once alienated, but also hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. What is the description of someone that has not come to Christ? He is alienated from God. He is established in a hostile attitude, and he is doing evil deeds. Interesting part here, though, that's also describing you. It's also describing me. Because remember, he's talking to the saints of God here. And he's looking at them, he's saying, you were once alienated. You were once hostile in mind. You were doing evil deeds. But now, he has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him.
I mean, so,
you know, when Paul was writing that, no doubt,
that makes sense.
He was writing to the Ephesians soon after.
You remember things.
They were in the same area.
Incorrectly.
And same time
you're
period.
Telling the truth about your memory.
But we have the gospel here again, don't we? What is the purpose for your predestination? So, it's that you would be presented holy and blameless.
I don't even remember
God.
If I remember that.
You would be presented for adoption in Christ because of this this being
exactly
presented in such a way. And above reproach.
Expounding on
so the fullness of God, in their second point, in the person of Christ, qualifies him as an ambassador of the Holy God to reconcile all things to himself. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 with me.
Right.
This will be a very familiar one to some of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 17 to 20.
Right.
There we go. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, now. I found that in this Bible, many pages turn
that was,
with one thumb.
As a counselor, that was the key phrase for me to say. And for either a recess or me to be excused as a witness, for me to go review my file and then get called back later, and then I would be able
all
to
right.
Because if I was to bring my file up there to you
from now on,
and now
this
now
is starting with 16,
that whole file has to
we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according
so
to the flesh, we regard him thus
recommending
no more. Talking about the newness that is found in every life. To make us qualified in this particular case of making every Christian qualified to be under the reconciliation of Christ in all things as an ambassador.
You know, you could paint that.
Now we know that we've all been sent out by the Great Commission.
That we weren't allowed to.
But in the way that you'll be representing the church, Brother Rusty was talking a little bit about that earlier before we actually got to this part of the.
Right.
Of the service.
At least they should.
When you're representing the church, you're representing it in a different way than if you were just representing your baseball team. You have standards,
exactly.
You have manners in which you are expected to be in deference to Christ and holy living. Mm-hmm. And here, this is the most eminent, I guess, verses regarding that. How are you qualified to be an ambassador of Christ? Even though we once regarded Christ, you now regard him differently. And looking at verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Testify that it was false.
The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting trespasses against them, and entrusting to us right. the message of reconciliation mm-hmm. in talking to the church. Yeah, do you think the church needs reconciliation?
It has.
Churches need reconciliation just between each other, don't they? Let's say sometimes.
We went to not just testimony.
Church
court,
members need reconciliation between each other.
If we do not engage
because
in church
we remember the time the split happened.
And we allow that person.
Or we remember when the child was kicked out of the church because of some reason. And mama said, well, I'm going too then.
Representing Christ.
And all these different reasons. Some of them were right, some of them were not. Some of them were handled according to the scriptures, some were not. But Christians, just like non-Christians, need to be ambassadors of reconciliation, because you're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're seeking God that he would empower you to do that, to show it in your own heart and mind that these are the things that I need to reconcile myself over. In fact, we're even told that if you're at the altar and you come forward and God reminds you here of something while you're there, that you need to leave your gift there and go to that brother and be reconciled. Reconciliation for the church is a tremendously important need. We're going to see a lot more need for it when the SBC meets again. There's already things there that are causing great difficulty, but when we meet again, reconciliation will not be the main thought that's being presented. And we say that, I can say that because of the way in which several different folks on several different sides are acting even now. But here's something that I want to encourage you with the most. Reconciliation is not going to be accomplished on your initiation. In the same way that you witness because Christ has brought you to someone or in a place or in a situation or with an attitude or meeting someone with a certain attitude, God is preparing you already and pointing you in the right way through the Holy Spirit. It's the same way with reconciliation. We pray that we will be open to the Spirit's teaching. We want to be open to the Spirit's leading. But when it comes time for, well, most of the time I hear it described as when heads begin to explode, that's when folks with a prepared view of holiness and forgiveness and long-suffering to allow the rants to roll, and yet you can still go up to them and speak to them rationally, and you can actually minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to see, and already see it, the need for ambassadors. Christ qualified as the first ambassador. And you're an ambassador of Christ. So as we pray, that's one of the things that we'll be praying for. Throughout the Bible, we see angels as ambassadors. We see shepherds as ambassadors. We see wise men as ambassadors. Whoever is qualified in the name of Jesus Christ, who has been called by the Lord to testify of what they have seen and what they know, they're an ambassador. And I believe if you just stop for a minute, every one of us in this room can probably see ourselves in that same qualification. Third, the fullness of God in the person of Christ qualifies him as an ambassador of holy God to reconcile himself to all things. That was second. Third, the fullness of man in the person of Christ qualifies him to bring reconciliation and peace to his people through his blood. Have you ever wondered why God had to send Christ as a sacrifice? How did he create everything? He decreed it, right? He spoke it, and it was real. By the time he got through speaking, the entire everything was through. And the sixth day he rested.
Right.
So why can't such an almighty God just speak and bring folks back together? Bring folks back into the church. Bring churches and unite them back together. That's a question that I asked. As you look at that, you have to wonder, well, then why couldn't he just have done that? If he could do it in reconciliation, why could he not have done that in salvation? Why did he do it? It's the Old Testament, we see a clear depiction of how the necessity of sacrifice is there for sin. They even had a sin for one that was unintentional. Whatever the reason that God has in his own mind, when sin, right, is a, which is a rebellion against God, not fully obeying God, it is, anything that is declared a sin is a rebellion against God. It really doesn't matter what it is. In that rebellion, you have rebelled against the holiness and the perfection of all that God is. And in his decree, there's no other way of dealing with that other than the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we come to Christ. We have to be able to stand up and without any reluctance to say that I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Right. Because when you're reconciled,
how you get to the,
you're gonna, 80-20, when you don't do the things that you're supposed to do,
the congregation do
maybe none of y'all will like that,
the,
right?
The people who,
don't y'all always,
can't say
now
no,
that you're in Christ, you're a new creation, and all things have passed away, you know, all things made new, you don't sin anymore. Okay. It's the same thing with reconciliation. We're constantly being called back to reconciliation with God. One of the Old Testament, it's Isaiah, I believe.